Welcome to the School of the Holy Spirit. We shine the light of Jesus over you. We sprinkle His blood on you and wash you with the water of His Word. Lord, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Holy Spirit, send forth your flames of fire, ministering spirits, your angels, to minister to all the listeners. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you may know the limitless love of the Father in Christ Jesus for you. All right, welcome everyone to the School of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach a little bit today on the art of waiting on God. And some of the material that I'm going to be using, you guys can find on the art of waiting on God or Wait as Eagles by Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. So just Google him. You can look for that. If you can spell the name, by the way. But if you need any material and you're part of the school, I can send you all this. But I want to talk about this because this is very important. And I believe that we need to teach more on the contemplative type of prayer. You know, there's several type of prayer, and most people, you know, they categorize it into, you know, different kind of prayers, you know, prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, and the contemplative prayer where you're just waiting on God, beholding on Him and waiting on Him. A lot of times we spend so much time in intercession and in supplication and in prayer petitions where we are talking a lot, and we are coming and barraging the Lord with so many requests and so many different things. Not saying that He cannot handle that. Of course, He knows everything that we're going to pray before even we ask Him. But there is a moment in time where there's this intimacy, time of beholding and waiting on Him. And I believe when we begin to practice that, and some people call it meditation, and a lot of times people are afraid of the word meditation because they're thinking of the Eastern culture, Eastern religion, but we are the original people that started this meditation. You know, you have Brother Lawrence, I think something Assisi or Frank of Assisi, or I can't remember all the names, but there's so many different people out there that were people of God, and they actually practiced meditation. And meditation simply just means like a cow, when what he does is he takes grass, he chews it, he swallows it, he regurgitates it again, ew, and then he chews it again, and then he chews it and he swallows it again, and he does that several times until all the nutrients, until every single nutrient is digested through the mouth before it even goes into the digestive system. And so with us, it's like you take the word of God, you take whatever that you're pondering on. It could be Psalms 119. You guys know how long that is. You know, it could be Psalms 1, Psalms 2. It could be any of those Psalms. It could be any of those scriptures where you're taking the word and you're saying, wow, Lord, what does this mean? Lord, talk to me some more. It's a dialogue, but most of the dialogue Ging is by Him. So you're waiting on Him to speak with you, because we speak so much. And prayer is not supposed to be a one-way street. It's supposed to be a two-way street. So we want to wait on the Lord. And the best thing and the best time to do this, actually for most people, is early in the morning. You wake up around 3 or 4 in the morning and, you know, just try not to go to sleep. But if you do, it's okay. We're sons. We're sons of God. We have to learn to be sons and not so much as servants in that sense. And we have to change our mentality from slavery to sonship. Whether you're male or female, it's regardless, from slavery to sonship. And so what I'm going to show here is that God, He desired to talk to us, but we need to position ourselves for Him to talk to us. And in the stillness is when He does talk with us. So I'm going to teach you some practical things that I do, because a lot of times people say, okay, how do I have intimacy with the Lord? How do I do that? I keep hearing everybody talking about it. I hear preachers talking about it. How do I do that? And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you some of the practical things that I do. Some things may be new. Some things may be like, well, I already do that. And some things may be unconventional. But what happens is that a lot of men of God, like Benny Hinn, if you ever read Good Morning Holy Spirit, he actually practiced meditation and contemplative prayer. Some people, the Catholic, they call it centering prayer. And what happens is that, you know, you just spend time listening to him. You wait on him. And that's what it's called, the art of waiting on God. Now, I could tell you that rest is a weapon. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but rest is a weapon against the enemy. Because when you're resting in him, you're allowing him to do everything that needs to be done. You're waiting on him because there is peace. You have access to peace. He is the King of Peace, right? So yeah. So let's look at this in some of the scriptures. We're going to look at some of the scriptures and where we're getting this from. So the word waiting is used 76 times in the Old Testament, within 25 different shades of degrees of meaning, and 21 times in the New Testament with 8 different meanings. So these many uses of the word may be grouped into 4 categories. Okay, remember those 4 categories. So if you can write them down, the first one of this word, of these words that are used, is the word Rapha. That's spelled R-A-P-H-A-H. It means to stand still. And you can find that in Psalms 46 and 10. The next word is Dumia. That's spelled D-U-M-I. Y-A-H means to wait in silence. And that's Psalm 62, 1 and 5. The third word is Kava, and that's spelled Q-A-V-A-H, means gather together in oneness. You can find that in Genesis 1, 9 and Psalms 25 and 5. And the fourth one is called Chaka, and it's spelled C-H-A-K-A-H, means to wait earnestly with a loving anticipation, Psalms 33 and 20. And these are Hebrew words, by the way. So in order for us to really understand, you know, the way the Lord is speaking to us, we have to really start grasping the words and what their meaning are, because not every word waiting means the exact same thing. And so let's review that again. Number one, to be still, to keep our thoughts and intents, heart quiet and still. The second one is to wait silently, to just remain silent. The soul is hushed and bowing in silence in faith. It waits before God. Number three, to wait in oneness. Now, we're going to go back to all these, but I just want you to kind of grasp the actual definitions, right? To wait in oneness. Everything within us, the thoughts, the emotions, the inner conflicts and noises must be gathered together, mustered together in oneness. Number four, to wait earnestly with a loving anticipation. The Shulamite woman, we learn, went about seeking her bridegroom with a loving anticipation. And you can find that in Song of Solomon 3:2. Likewise, we are to wait on God with an earnest expectation, Psalms 33 and 2. So whenever you try to combine all these words, let's just combine all these words and come up with just one definition for what is waiting on God. So to wait on God means to wait earnestly in silence and stillness in God's presence while seeking to be bound in perfect union and intimate bonding with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's just, I don't know if you ever heard of Ruth Heflin, and she talks about how we're supposed to praise until the spirit of worship comes, and then worship until the glory comes, and then stand in the glory. I would just say, instead of say stand, because when the glory shows up, you probably can't even stand. I would say, adding to what Ruth Heflin says, is sit in the glory, await in the glory. And one of my apostolic leaders used to say, you can't really soak in 2 inches of water. And I get that. You know, it's like most people try to soak when there's no presence. But what I do say is that sometimes you have to start somewhere. And you know, if you're going to, you know, big meetings and gatherings and conferences and the presence is so thick, you're worshiping, you know what? Just lay there and worship. Wait on the Lord. You can actually do that. But I have experienced sometimes the most ecstatic presence of the Lord in my own private time. And that's the intimacy there, where you just wait on the Lord. Back in the day, what I used to do was, when I learned how to wait on the Lord, I read the book by Benny Hinn about the Good Morning Holy Spirit. What I used to do is just lay there and just wait on Holy Spirit to come in. And for some of us, we already do this. And one time, back in 99, I accidentally stumbled on this waiting, but it wasn't based on any reading or anything like that. I was actually, you know, I just got baptized by the Holy Spirit. I was saved in 93, but in 99, you know, I got baptized by the Holy Spirit, baptized by water. And while I was in the military for like 10 years, but while I was in the military in the barracks, I'm sitting there in the bathtub, right? And I'm just soaking in the water. And I just started to pray and I was waiting. And I never even heard, like, now everybody's using the word soak. They don't even know where that stuff came from or who started it or whatever. But for me, in that time, that word was not even used at all. Matter of fact, those words started with those guys in Toronto, the Renewal in 94 at the airport there. But anyway, so I was laying in there. I didn't know about any of those guys. I just was laying in the water, soaking. And then the presence of God just came and it just hovered. And I just fell asleep in the water because I was such an ecstatic mode in the presence and such a peace. And that's when I stumbled into that. And then I realized, started having experiences and different things. You're receiving revelation, you're receiving different things like that. But then, you know, years later, what I started doing was, you know, I can lay on the floor, turn off the light. I would be in my prayer room. I would have soaking music, just like what you're hearing in the background right now, sometimes with no music. And then I would just spend that time just waiting on the Lord and waiting for him to say something, waiting for him to speak to me, and he would show up. Sometimes it would go for hours, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. And it was just an awesome time of fellowship with the Lord, because you're just waiting on Holy Spirit to visit, to speak with you, you just want him to be in your presence. You just say, okay, Lord, just come. I just want you to be. I don't know if you've ever been in love before, for those that are listening, but when you just want to be in the presence of the spouse, or, you know, the person that you love, and you're just waiting there, you want to look at them, you want to see them, you want to smell their face, look at them, gaze in their eye. You don't even want to say anything. You just want to be in their presence. That's that kind of feeling. But it's more of the agape, not the phileo, but the unconditional love, where you're spending that time and it's like milk and honey and flowing of the presence of the Lord. And it just fills your whole body, fills your whole being, you know, fills your whole being. And so this whole lesson about this, it actually goes back all the way to the tabernacle, you know, and I've taught this before in how the tabernacle has been built. And there is a progression where there is repentance, right? You know, with the laver, right? Actually, not the laver, with the where they do the sacrifices, and then you move to the laver, the washing of the water of the word. You look at the word. You look at your face. You wash your feet. You wash your hands. Then you walk into the inner court, you know, your outer court, inner court, after the blood already, because Jesus has already done it once and for all. You know, there is entering into the inner courts. When you go into the inner courts, of course, there's these three furnitures that are so important in there that you have to go through these in order for you to find that fellowship. You know, you have the lampstand, which is representative or indicative of the Holy Spirit, with the sevenfold Spirit of God, and is illuminating over the bread, the showbread. And the showbread is our daily bread, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It illuminates and make him alive. See, Holy Spirit is who makes Jesus real in our life. And then you have prayer, the altar of incense, which is on the other side of the room. And you got to keep that fire burning because that passion and the burning. And so it's like whether it's intercessory prayer, whether it's that prayer of supplication and petition. But I'm telling you that if you add contemplative prayer to that mix, you will have this. Like, it's almost as though you're plugging in your phone and that phone is being recharged and the battery is being recharged. That's what happens when you're doing contemplative prayer. You're just receiving. You're receiving. That's why it's so important. And I've taught a lot of people on this, and I've seen people, they go out and begin to do this soaking. They begin to do this contemplative prayer, this listening prayer. They wait on the Lord. As a matter of fact, we even done it on this thing here. And some people just stayed. They stayed in the room because it was such a glory and such a presence that remained that nobody wanted to go to sleep. And some of them went to sleep, but they fell asleep in the midst of the contemplative prayer. Because when he shows up, he shows up. So let me go ahead and continue with some of these instructions here. You know, one of the hardest thing that we have to do, right, is first is to learn to subdue the resistance within us to be still before the presence of God. Because we're dealing with so much stuff and we want to be in a rush. And so you have to position yourself into a place where you put everything aside and you say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. So you have to engage your will. You got to engage your will. You know, everybody knows, you know, I don't know, you read the book with Watchman Nee, The Spiritual Man. Everybody quotes and they talk about, you know, your soul, which is your psuche, right? The word psuche in Greek. And it's it contains your emotion, your mind, your emotion, and your will. And then out of your mind, you know, you have your intellect and you have, different things there. But then you have your will. But most people talk about that, but they don't talk about the other. You know, when you're dealing with the spirit, you're dealing with the intuition. You're dealing with communion. This is where you commune with God in your spirit. Because when you look at the tabernacles we were talking about, that inner court, after that, there is a veil that was torn. You walk through there. Right. And you go to the holies of holy where there's the mercy seat, and the mercy seat represents the cherub, the angels that are facing each other, because we would not be here if it was not for mercy. We would not be here if it was not for the cross. And it's because of the shedding of blood, it's because of Jesus Christ that there is a mercy seat. So because of that mercy seat, that's where the glory comes in. And so we're in there. But anyway, back to that, it's like the holies of holy. There was no artificial light in there. It was just the glory of God when he showed up. And so in your spirit is where the glory of God comes in and expresses himself. He comes in there and feels all in all. Of course, he feels all of it, not just as a container, but he feels all in all. But we're going to talk about that later, because remember, it's not about being filled as a container. But it's also flesh. We are one with him, you know, flesh of his flesh, bones of his bones as well. We are in union. He is in us and we are in him. And when you look at the tabernacle, it's a picture and a portray of how God tabernacles his people. He chooses to live. Can you imagine this? I mean, just before we continue, can you imagine that he chose not to live in buildings made with hands, but he chose to live in human beings, that you are a type of technology that can contain God. The universes cannot contain God, but you as a son can contain God. I mean, that is amazing. The power, same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, lives inside of you. The God that created cosmos, the expanding cosmos, expanding world is expanding even at the speed or greater than the speed of light, even today, is living inside of you right now. Wow. That is amazing. And then you are living inside of the second person of the Trinity in Him. So He has you hidden. So everything, it says, in the beginning was God. And then it has the little signs there for the alphabet or the alphabet in there when you read the original text. And so some people look at it, it's like, okay, in the beginning, God. And then it has the Aleph Bet, meaning that He created the Aleph Bet. And the word in is Bereshit, and it's the word, the second letter of the alphabet, which is Beit, representative of Jesus Himself. And so when this thing started, we were created in Him. In Jesus, He is the house of everything. Colossians says it. It says, all things were made through Him and by Him and for Him, whether principalities, whether powers, whether things visible or invisible. We exist and have our being in Him. And so that's why He had to be slain even before the foundation of the world, so that we can exist inside of Him. Because if that wasn't the case, then when Adam sinned, God couldn't have said, where are you? He would have been destroyed automatically, because God is so holy that nothing can be around Him that is unholy. But because of the fact that Jesus already had made propitiation even before the ages of time, there was already a way out. Okay, let me ask you this. If that wasn't the case, then God would say, oh, man, we made a mistake. Adam, we created him and he just... No, He knew that beforehand. He already had made a way. God is creating us so that He can have sons. He made a way so He can have sons. And sons become just like their father. It is an amazing, amazing story of love. But let me go back to the actual notes here, or the actual teaching. So first, we got to learn to subdue resistance within us to be still before the presence of God. Second, we must learn to quiet and silence the noise within us. They say the hardest part of contemplative prayer is to learn to quiet the internal. The external, you know, you can place yourself into, you know, you can wake up at 3 a.m, all the kids are went to sleep, there's nothing going on, the neighbors are not, you know, playing loud music. That's easy. But the second part, where you have to quiet your inside, meaning like, okay, I have bills to pay, I have this coming up, that is some of the hardest one. And whenever you start to do this, that's going to be the first battle. But the best way to do that is begin to chew on the word, begin to meditate on the word. And for me, what I usually do, I grab Psalm 119, I just begin to read. Psalms 119 is the longest one out of all of them. As a matter of fact, it has the 22 verses, which are the representative of the 22 Aleph Bet. You know, you start with Aleph, the Bet, you know, the Gimel, the Dalet, and it just keeps going, just like that. And then you just go and you just keep reading, and then until you sense the presence, until you feel the Lord, then you take the Bible, you put it away, and you begin to just continue and just soak in the presence. Third, the thoughts, the emotions, the physical senses, the restlessness, and even the imaginative faculty of the mind must be bound together in oneness with God. You got to chew on that word. You got to receive your daily bread. Make the word become flesh in you as you wait on Him. And the other thing is that we need to do is we have to wait as long, we must wait as long as it take with a longing anticipation. So the doorway into the spirit realm may not open immediately, but if you take your time and you wait on him, you say, Lord, I'm going to be here for as long as I need to do. So sometimes you have to take a whole full Saturday or Sunday and just spend that time, you know, do all your chores, do everything you need to do, and then go into your secret place, whether it's a closet, whether it's a room, turn off the light. What I started to do was, I've discovered something. One time I went to a conference, and in this conference, they had a prayer room. I went in there, and they had some frankincense and myrrh. And frankincense, you know, had to deal with, those are biblical. And so, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, this frankincense and incense. And no, all these things that you see that are, people are using it in the New Age, we have those things naturally even before originally. So you can't just be afraid, but make sure you kind of study it yourself so you know exactly what you're doing. So I use incense. Why? Because what you're doing is this. You're engaging all your senses to be focused on the Lord. They say that there is actually, I was watching a documentary on quantum physics, and in quantum physics they talk about how the sense of smell is, and they say that the smell is actually, they just discovered something that is actually makes sound and music to your nose, like you're actually hearing the sound of the smell. And I was like, well, that's very interesting. So whenever you have that frankincense or myrrh, and I use those because those are particular to the anointing. In description, when you study the anointing, you'll find out that there's those certain, like for example, for myrrh, like dying to self, you know, those are what they use to embalm people. You know, whenever Esther, with the first 6 months, they put her in a diet and a process of her to die to self and her own self-identity. She had to die to self in order for her to be before the king. 6 months of purification and death to self before the 6 months of beautification. And so it took that whole year to go through the process. And so what did they did? They bathed them in myrrh, the milk and all these other things, and that destroyed that. And so as you could see that everything that the Lord does, when you look at the ingredient of the anointing or the anointed oil, there's all these ingredients that are very specific. And anyway, so whenever I discovered I started using that, it's like it engages my whole body. My sense of smell is focused on the Lord. My hearing, I'm listening to soaking music, not just any music, meaning music that is prophetically designed, by a man of God. I'm not talking about Beethoven, because whatever you listen to by whoever created it, you're going to be experiencing their lifestyle. So you need to see if you can get somebody who is anointed, who's consecrated, and you get a music like that. You don't need it, but it's okay to start somewhere. So your senses, your hearing, you turn off all the light. There is no distractions or nothing. And if you are reading, read the word and then, you know, close your eyes and just place yourself in a position where you can go ahead and discipline your senses. Lay inside of the water or lay on the floor. What I usually did was when I laid on the floor, I would lay on the floor and I would just close my eyes, and that way I would not be distracted by anything. No phones, no nothing, nothing. And you're just taking that time to wait on him. Now I'm giving you, these things are very practical because I need people to really understand this is how you do it. Now there's so many different ways to get around or to do it, but I'm telling you what I do that's practical, what other people have done, you know, like Brother Lawrence, who actually perfected it to where he can wash dishes and be in the presence of the Lord. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever read The Interior Castle. You know, some of these people who learn the presence of the Lord of course, now they got so good that they can do it walking around about during the day, but they started in the quiet place. They started, you know, Benny Hinn, you know, whenever he prepares for his meetings, and whenever he started when he was very young, Catherine Kuhlman, what did they do? They waited on the Lord. They were in the quiet place. And when he shows up, he feels all in all. I'm telling you, I guarantee you, you can test this. You want to minister, you want to preach, you want to heal the sick, you want to do whatever. You take some time. And if you want to preach for an hour, please don't, you know, take at least 2 hours soaking and spending time. Because if you don't, you're just pouring out from nothing. You know, people spending 10 hours on this thing and they haven't even spent a lick of time with the Lord. But I'm not saying that we need to do it for the purpose of ministry, but it comes in if you want to do it ahead, because you already have some time. You know, you take the time already, but then you can add to that and say, okay, I want to add to that. Let me see here. Let me see where I need to go here. So just want to, you need to know that you are joined to the Lord as one spirit with him. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. And the word join in Greek is kolao, which means to glue or cement together, is to unite, to join firmly. A lot of times people don't really understand that when he says you are holy, for I am holy, it's because we are positionally are holy. In this description here, meaning that we are one with him, and because we are in him, we are seated at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ, hidden in him. That's how we are holy, and that's how we have become holy, because he is holy. He has hidden us in him. And so it is very important to understand that we are flesh of his flesh, bones of his bones. We are one spirit with him. He said, "You do you not know that he who is joined with a prostitute is one with the prostitute?" He says, don't make the body of Christ as the body of a prostitute or one with one. And so that's why we have to understand that we are united in union with the Lord. And so a lot of times we're like, oh yeah, we want God to show up and he's coming from the outside. No, what about from the inside out? We have to change our paradigm. We have to change the way we're thinking. All right, so let's just wait on him just for a second. Let's just wait on him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Prayer is having a dialogue with God. It is talking and listening. Prayer is nourished by the Word of God. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's wait on him. Let's wait on you, Holy One, Holy Spirit. We wait on you. We come before you seeking you so that we may find you when we search for you with all of our hearts. Because we know that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Even Enoch walked with you, God, and he was not because you took him. He was in synchronicity with you. He walked with you. He walked along with you. He waited on you. Let us draw near to you, and you will draw near to us. We call to you, Lord, and you said you will answer us, and you will show us great and mighty things which you do not know, which we do not know. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. You know, most people don't know how to ascend because they have so much weight. That weight of sin, that weight of idols, that weight of baggages. We must learn to go through the process and the stages of the tabernacle. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Stand my watch. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet of an appointed time, but in the end it will speak, and it will not die. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Come, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place, God. We welcome you. You are holy. You are holy, God. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. O God, purge and refine us. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Lord as an offering in righteousness. Purify us in the consuming fire, Lord. We are here as Isaac, as a living sacrifice. We call on you, God. Have your way and burn away every dross. Burn away every idols. Burn away everything that is not of you from us, O God. We wait on you, and we wait and sit still as you are consuming fire on this living sacrifice. Burn, burn, burn. burn. Let the spirit of burning, let the spirit of burning, let the fire and the consuming fire of God come upon each and every one of us that is in this place even now. Release your grace, release your move, release your mighty move of your grace, oh God. Burn away. Yes, God. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, he waited 6 days out of those 40 days to be purified, to be purged. The cloud was the baptism that came over him, the washing of the water of the word. The cloud is significant of the Holy Spirit. The cloud is significant of the baptism. Even as the people of God went through the Red Sea, they went through that cloud, the baptism. Be submerged into the washing. Let the Lord wash you. Let him cleanse you. That cloud on Mount Sinai rested upon Mount Sinai, and Moses was purged and cleansed for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, the Lord called upon him. And then he spent that other time, the rest of the time, totaling 40 days. In the presence of the Lord, supernaturally surviving hunger, supernaturally surviving death, supernaturally. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. Yeah. Prepare your heart and minds. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yes. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. You chose to inhabit hearts. You chose to inhabit flesh. You chose to inhabit your people. Even the angels are looking into it, that you have made man even lower than God. Lord, we don't understand it, but we know that you have chosen us. You have tabernacled us. We are people that you have chose to be like Christ, Christos. Like our brother, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. Lord, we thank you, and we are honored that you chose to tabernacle within your people, and you said the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. And we are your glory, God, because you are filling the earth through your people, through your saints. Fill us even more, God. Abound in us more and more in your love. abound in us more and more in your love. Thank you, Lord. For one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you hear prayer. To you all flesh will come. Yes, God. We are joined to the Lord and we are one spirit with you, God. But he who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to tell you a story that I've learned about eagles. So eagles, in that scripture, the word renew is not renew as in secondhand or replaced or refurbished. It's actually renew means, in that scripture, means to receive new parts, to receive new, renewed, made new again, like a baby. And so when we study eagles, we understand that not all eagles survive this trip. And this is the trip that they do. When they get to a certain age, their beak begins to fall off. Their feathers begin to fall off. Everything just begins to wither. And they go up onto the mountain. And what they're supposed to do is, they have to survive this thing. It's called molting. And they have to look at the sun. And that's all they have to do. Just look at the sun. They can't fly anywhere because they've lost all their feathers. They can't go anywhere because they've lost strength. But they have to sit and just wait, looking at the sun all day. And on occasion, when an older eagle who has gone through the molting process sees them, will throw some of their leftovers so that they would be able to eat. And that's how they would survive. And this happens for days and days. And when that eagle is standing up there on the mountain, just looking and beating itself, beating its beak against the rocks, removing its talon, removing its feathers, and just agony of pain, looking at the sun, looking at the sun, and waiting for the renewal process to happen, waiting for the Lord, waiting for the sun, waiting for the sun. And then what happens is, then everything begins to renew again. If they can survive the molting process, they get a new beak, they get new feathers, they get new everything. And so they actually live in a new body for the rest of their life, because this process of molting happens and happens and again until they die. Brand new body. So when you read this, think of it as, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's all brand new. Imagine that. Brand new feathers, brand new beaks, brand new body. In the Spirit, in the Lord, when you wait on him, that's what he does to you. He strengthens you. He gives you power. He gives you strength. He fills your spirit. He makes you strong. He strengthens your will in the Spirit when you can stand up and say, bring it on. No one can touch you, because the sun, you've been looking at the sun. When you behold him, you shall become like him. When you see him, you will be like him. Strengthen yourself in the Lord by waiting on him. Let him fill you. Let him fill you overflowing. Let him fill you to overflowing. Let him fill you to overflowing. Let him fill you to overflowing even now. Let him fill you to overflowing. And let him burn away everything that is not of him. Let him burn away and shatter every darkness. Holy Spirit, have your way. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For those who are taking notes, I'm going to give you some scriptures on contemplative prayer scriptures. Micah 7:7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah 7:7. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Psalms 4:3. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him. 1 John 5:14-15. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4:6-9. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:23-24. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. And then you have the Psalms 86:11, Matthew 6:10, John 15:7, John 16:23, 1 John 5:14, Daniel 9:5-11, Matthew 6:12. Psalms 46:10, which we talked about. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted in the earth. Rapha. To sink, to relax, to let drop. To abandon. Truly my soul waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Psalm 62:1. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 62:5. Damam. To be silent, to be still, to wait, to be dumbfounded, to be dumb, grow dumb, to be silent, to be still, to die, to be struck dumb. to make quiet. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:9. To wait, to look for, that's kava, to expect. To wait or to look, to eagerly wait, to lie and wait for him, to collect and bind together, to be collected. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Psalms 25:5. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalms 33:20. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, and the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the full message from the School of the Holy Spirit. Find us on the Clubhouse audio app. For more information, visit us at schooloftheholyspirit.club. That's schooloftheholyspirit.club.